Okay, good morning. It is 9:12, March 16th. We're doing Chem 12BL. And this morning I'm going to use a little bit of time to support some more of the lecture stuff that we're going to do. We're starting spectroscopy. In order to start spectroscopy, in order to understand spectroscopy and what we're doing, we need to understand chemical environments and what a chemical environment is, what it means to be different chemical environments. So to start that off, one of the ways that I look at that is with, let's see if I want to start it with NMR or if I just want to start chemical equivalence. You usually need to start it sort of with NMR in order to be able to explain what chemical equivalence is. And if I take and I look at two molecules, the easiest thing to start with is to start with a molecule. Let me even get rid of that. It's just really simple. First off, let's remember that on a sigma bond, there's free rotation about a sigma bond. You can't see it?
No.
All right, disappeared. This is what I said. It's working funky this morning. Let me stop the screen share, start it one more time. See, usually when I go, switch Zoom screens around. And also it's pinning different people. Gallery view, it's not registering that I'm speaking for some reason. Usually it should click over that I'm speaking, but it's not. All right, let's try screen share again. Something is really wrong. All right, can you guys see? All right. So starting with a simple molecule, this is just one chloroethane. And you've got free rotation about the sigma bonds. And when you've got free rotation about the sigma bonds, all of the hydrogens that are on this side of the molecule rotate past the chloride, and they rotate past the hydrogens, and they all equal out. They're all in the same chemical environment. And these two hydrogens over here are clearly in a different chemical environment, being next to the chloride. And what happens is when we look at NMR, we get two signals out of this. So if I look at what's called proton NMR, and we'll deal in lecture, I'll go through how NMR works. I'll explain the whole process. I'll explain how the experiment works. For right now, there's a scale that's down here that we call PPM that runs from 0 on up to 14. And what we see is we see signals that are essentially line signals. And we get two line signals that come out of this. I'm not even going to put, I don't really need to put numbers on them. I could say that one runs somewhere around 2 and one runs somewhere around 1. And that those signals happen to be the different protons that are here. And what we call these is we call these chemical environments, or one way to refer to them is chemical environments. And so there are two types of hydrogen. And those types equal chemical environments. And the goal is to look at a molecule and to be able to understand how many chemical environments there are within the molecule for right now. We'll have other goals as we move forward. Let's call this a discussion on chemical environments. And the cool thing is that we can not only see the number of chemical environments for the protons. So this piece here is H NMR. And I have color coordinated the H's there so that we can see where those signals come from. We can also look at what's called carbon NMR. And the carbons, the scale runs a little bit different. We use the same ppm scale, but it runs from zero on up to about 220. So it's a very different scale. And on this scale, what we see is that there are two different types of carbon as well. And we can track those two types of carbon. So one of the carbons is going to show up here. And one of the carbons will show up here. And we can color those carbons in the same coloring scheme. And they track very nicely with the hydrogens in terms of which ones have a larger number and which ones have a smaller number. And so what we see is that the chloride is acting as an electron withdrawing group. And that electron withdrawing group, as it pulls electron density out away from those hydrogens and out away from those carbons, it shifts them farther, what we call downfield. So this direction here. Is what we call downfield. And things that are closer to electron withdrawing groups tend to be pulled more downfield. And so the carbon that the chlorine is on, that carbon is further downfield. And the one that is farther away from the chloride, the blue one, is farther upfield. So this direction would be upfield. And the same with the hydrogens. The hydrogens are affected in the exact same manner. And so what we find is that when we look at this molecule, that has this chlorine on it, and the hydrogens, that there are two chemical environments for the hydrogens, and there are two chemical environments for the carbons. So we look at protons and we look at carbons. And the number of chemical environments that are in each, there are two in the protons and there are two in the carbons. And this is the first skill set, or the most critical skill set, for being able to assess NMR. And I have different ways in which I will color code them in order to highlight them. That's the first thing that we try to understand is the number of different chemical environments. And it turns out that chemical environments, if we choose a different molecule, let's look at this guy. So a new molecule now. And for these, what I like to do is I don't like to draw in all the carbons. I like to stick with bond line formulas, but it does become advantageous to draw in the hydrogens so that you're seeing all the hydrogens. And we have several different types of hydrogens in this molecule. So when we look at this molecule, what we see is that there are the hydrogens that are here that we can call HA. There's this one single hydrogen here, which I can call HB. And then out on these methyls, we'll call these guys all HC. And these guys, likewise, on this methyl, are also HC. And they are all in the same chemical environment. Let's give them red. And so when I look at the number of chemical environments, and we look at both the carbons and the protons, out of the carbons, we have the three different types. We have HA, HB, and HC. And they are all in, or those three are three distinct different chemical environments. When I want to look at the carbons, I'll leave the hydrogen off to make it a little bit more clear how many different types of carbon environments there are. And the carbon environments, likewise, these two guys are in the same environment. That carbon, which is a tertiary carbon, is in its own environment. And then the hydrogen, or excuse me, the last one that the chlorine is bound to, the green one, is a third chemical environment. And that there are three carbon environments. Now, so far, it looks like the number of carbon environments and the number of hydrogen environments are tracking together, and it looks like they would always be the same. In fact, they are not. They're often different. And so being able to look at a molecule and figure out how many different environments there are is really critically important. Sometimes you have more hydrogens, sometimes you have more carbons. And so we need to be able to look at a molecule and see. Now, one of the first things that people say is, well, are these hydrogens out here, the red ones, actually all in the same chemical environment? Because it looks like these guys up here are closer to the chlorine than these guys over here. But in reality, you have to remember that there's free rotation about the sigma bond. There's free rotation about that bond. And there's free rotation around each one of these bonds. And because of that rotation, they all equalize out. And they actually are in the same chemical environment all the way around. Is this making sense so far in terms of just finding chemical environments? Okay. So let me pick a few molecules. I had some good ones that were set up. So I'm going to go to those. Okay. Let's try these two molecules. And let's look at both proton and carbon. Number of environments. And how many, let's call this molecule A, molecule B. So we have one bromopropane and we have two bromopropane. How many proton environments in A? How many hydrogen environments? Three. Okay, good. So these guys we can call HA. These guys we can call HB. And finally, these guys out here, HC. So I agree that there are three environments, three different types of hydrogen environments. What about the types of carbon environments? How many different carbon environments in that molecule that is A? Three as well. Drew's giving me a three as well, and I agree. So when I look at this, I see this first one, second one, and the third one out there, that there are three different types of carbon environments. Do the same thing for molecule B. How many types of hydrogen environments? Two. Okay. I agree. So these guys out here, the molecule is symmetrical. So if we call these all HA, due to the symmetry of the molecule, and then there's one in here that is HB. So there's our two different types. What about carbon environments? How many different carbon environments? Two as well. Okay, still looks like everything is tracking, right? So it still looks like I'm tracking my carbons and my hydrogens and they all look the same. All right, let's pick some molecules where things change a bit. All right, how many hydrogen environments in this molecule now? I think Drew gave me a three. Anybody else want to give me a number? AJ's agreeing with three. Okay, so let me draw in the hydrogens. And I'm going to copy this molecule and paste it over here so that we can do the carbons over here. When I look at this, I've got HA, B, and B due to symmetry, C, and C due to symmetry, and D out on the tail end. So HA is here, B is here. I think that if I had to guess that you were equating B and C as being the same because they were all on the aromatic ring. Okay. And so a good guess on my part. On the aromatic ring, there's not free rotation. And what winds up happening is B is closer to the aldehyde and C is closer to the methoxy group. And so they are actually not equivalent. They actually are different types of chemical environments because there's not equilibration or free rotation between them in any way. So B can never be equidistant between the aldehyde and the methoxy group. It's always closer to the aldehyde. These two Bs are in the same chemical environment because they're each ortho to that aldehyde, but C over here is much closer to the methoxy. And so B and C are completely different protons and will have different signals they will come at different places in the proton NMR. So if both sides of the molecule were the same, would it then have been three? Yes, if I turn this side into another aldehyde and I make the molecule symmetrical left and right-hand sides, then it would have reduced down. Actually, no, it would not have reduced to three. It would have reduced to two. I'll show you that in a second. I can draw that, AJ, and I'll show you. So the number of proton environments here is four. Let me go ahead and deal with the question real quick. How many proton environments would this guy have? And the answer is this is HA. This is also HA because the molecule is symmetrical. This is B, 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 and B. Two types of hydrogen. Only A's and B's. So it wouldn't go down to three. It'd go down to two if we made it symmetrical. All right. Using that information, how about how many different types of carbon there are? Six types of carbon I'm seeing. I'm getting rid of all the hydrogens just to make it easier to see, except for the aldehyde hydrogen, which needs to be displayed. Okay, so what we do is we go through and we track. Number one, number two, this guy and this guy are the same. So that's the third type. Then we've got this guy here and this guy here. That's a fourth type. We've got that guy there, which is a fifth type. And then the last one is the methoxy carbon. I guess I'll have to make that gray. I'm out of colors. And so that is six types that we see there. Oftentimes what I'll do with this is when I'm typing these guys, if I don't have that much color to differentiate and I'm struggling to find a way to highlight them, I'll do it this way. I'll go through and just use black and I'll circle it. That's one type, two types, three, four, five, and six. And I'll highlight it out that way if I don't have all the color in order to be able to track with everything. So there are six types, six environments, six carbon environments that we would expect out of that molecule. Okay, let's change the molecule a little bit. Let's see what happens if we break the symmetry. So now the symmetry is broken. All right, so once the symmetry is broken again, number of environments of carbon and hydrogen. So what do we think about the number of hydrogen environments? Drew's giving me six. So I would agree that this is A, B, C, D, E, and F. So we've got one, two, three, four, five, and six. They're all unique. So there are six different types of hydrogen environments in that guy. What about carbon environments? She's giving me 8. So I've got 1 here, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And they are all unique. 8 different types of carbon environments. Good. All right, so this skill set is really, really important, being able to find the number of carbon environments and the number of proton environments. It makes or breaks being able to do NMR, and that if you can see the number of environments, you can anticipate how many signals. Given the number of signals, you can start thinking about how to reconstruct the molecule because you know how many different chemical environments are there. And so you can tell when you start to draw molecules whether or not they match a given spectrum. Let's do a couple more molecules. Okay. Number of protons, number of hydrogen environments. And it's hard to just look at these and do it. This is a much better thing to draw out. Sit down, draw it out, figure out what's going on. And you might have some questions. All right, I'm seeing 6 for the number of hydrogen environments. Does anybody else want to agree, disagree? So let's take and put in all the different hydrogens. So we've got all these guys here. These guys out here we can call HA, HB, and HC. They're both on a double bond, but they're both on different sides of the double bond. HD, E, and F. The proton that is on the oxygen also counts. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Great. All right, number of carbon environments, 5. And I would also agree, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different carbon environments. So the number of carbon environments, the number of proton environments are generally close, but they're not always equal. Another good one to do. Let's do another. One with double bond. Double bonds are important. Okay. Same thing, number of protons. All right, Drew's giving me 5. or was that a 5 for proton and 7 for carbon, or was that a change from 5 to 7?
7 for the protons. The 5 was for the last one.
Okay. 7 for protons. All right, let's go through and see what we've got. We've got 3 that I would say that are out here that are equivalent, that are HA. HB, HC, HD, E. These guys out here, we'll say are F. And then you've got these guys. The question is, are these guys equivalent or not? When we look at the molecule, this is an alkene, a double bond. And the double bond doesn't have free rotation about the double bond. So double bonds are locked in place, which means that this proton that is on the top of the double bond is always going to be close to HB. And this one at the bottom of the double bond is always going to be away from HB. And they're technically in different chemical environments because there's no free rotation about a sigma bond. So when you get restricted rotation, then you get chemical inequivalence. And so what we see is that you have G, so this one is G, and that one is H. And they actually are different chemical environments on that double bond because of the restricted rotation. So we get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Actually 8 different types of hydrogen. A little different than we expected, just because that double bond and the restricted rotation about the double bond. So something to be aware of and keep track of. All right, how many types of carbon? The carbon generally tend to be easier. 11 types of carbon. So what we'll do is we'll go through, we've got 1, 2, 3, all of these are different. So that's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, and there are indeed 11 types there. So the thing to watch, this is the one that most people will miss. Is it that guy? And that guy are in different chemical environments. And that happens because there's no rotation about the double bond.
So Jason, yeah. That would happen for any double bond that has two hydrogens coming off of, they're not gonna be in the same group ever.
I can envision double bonds. So we have 3 different types of double bonds, really. Actually, there's quite a few double bonds. With alkenes, we can have the trans, we can have the cis, we can have geminal, at which point we have the 2 different hydrogens that are here. And it really depends on what's going on with the R groups. So if the R's are the same, if we say that this is R and R and the R's are equal, and actually maybe this is a way that we could do it. Let me line them all up where the R's are all equal. So that there's no difference in R. Then each of these protons would be identical due to the symmetry of the molecule. And they would be in the same chemical environment. But if you take and you make those R's different, so that one is R prime and the other one is R, then the hydrogens become inequivalent. Because there's no way to rotate and swap the hydrogens. They all become unique. and they are now in two different chemical environments, and the symmetry of the molecule is broken. Does that help to see it? Good. Okay, and I would say that in a situation where you have hydrogens like this, and you have just a single R group, all three of them are different. All three of them are unique. And you have three different environments because there's restricted rotation about the double bond. And so one of these hydrogens here is always on the same side with R. The red one is geminal to R. And the blue one is trans to R. And so all three of those protons are unique signals, unique chemical environments. So double bonds are kind of the thing that we got to watch for. Double bonds tend to be sort of the important thing that that are harder to track in terms of the number of chemical environments. Oh, let's see. Here's a good question. What about a molecule like this? Eight for hydrogen, Drew says. So this is going to be a little bit harder. So it definitely looks like if I go through and I start labeling them, this is 1, 2, 3, 4 for those guys, 5, 6, 7, 8. I would agree that, Drew, on the surface, it looks like 8. But in practice, what do we know about 6-member ring systems? They have chair conformations. And those chair conformations have different conformations that we can draw that put the groups axial and equatorial, and that the hydrogens that are axial and equatorial actually wind up having different chemical environments. And that this becomes actually very difficult to tell. That the number of chemical environments that arise because of axial and equatorial is that these two guys here and here will be in different chemical environments. And so, yeah, it would literally be 12. And so ring systems like this make the chemical environments or explode the number of chemical environments that we see for the number of proton signals. And sometimes if we get fast equilibrium, they can collapse. But even fast equilibrium, when it moves to axial over here and equatorial over here, they're still in different chemical environments. And so what you wind up seeing is it looks like you have two different molecules. So not only do we have 12 in terms of each one of these protons being unique, but it's like 12 times two, it's like 24, because there's almost a separate molecule that's here that's giving me different chemical environments when they're in this orientation. So six-membered ring systems are sometimes a mess. And unless you have a locked conformation, you don't get real clear signals. We tend not to give beginning students six-member rings that have conformational analysis in order to be able to look at in the NMR. We almost never even show you one, just because they can get rather complicated in order to be able to figure out what's going on in the six-member ring system. So let's just say here that there are many that 12 to 24 in terms of the way that the ring system can have different conformations. So we tend to stay away from six-member ring systems, which is the good news, because six-member ring systems, there we go, found it. We just tend to not even show you. But I like to show you just to say, hey, they're complicated. And so that you can understand that complexity of what happens, that conformations can change chemical equivalence as well. So an important thing to be aware of. All right. Trying to think if I want to show you more on this. And I think I want to wait. We've done pretty much as much as I want to do. Let me see if I've got something where I have conformations, or not conformations, chemical equivalents for you guys to work on. And I don't. I'll have to draw some up, give you guys like a short problem set of just the number of chemical environments. You guys have gotten pretty sharp at it, but a good little problem set would be nice to go through and practice that skill, because that's the first skill I want you to do. And then in lecture, what we'll do is we'll introduce NMR. We'll talk all about how NMR works. We'll talk about the instrument itself, the experiment, why it works, what it is we're looking at. And then this chemical equivalence idea comes into play very quickly. And we'll start to see how that all comes together. So I think that's as much as I'm going to do this morning until we get to lecture. Let's cut it from here. I'm going to go easy today. I'll be online for office hours. And I'll come in and hang out for office hours, and then we'll do lecture, and I'll do the afternoon lab, and we'll see how this all goes. Does that sound like a plan? All right. So, like I said, if anybody wants to chat, I know some people wanted to come in and talk to me about the test, or they were dying to know some of the answers now that they've turned things in for the test. If you want to hit me up in office hours on that, I'm more than happy to talk about the test in office hours. And then from there, we'll jump into lecture and we'll get into NMR. So this is kind of exciting. I love this part. There's not a part that I don't love about organic chemistry, which is kind of fun. I love the synthesis. I love all the small skill sets. I love the mechanisms. When we get into NMR in particular, mass spec, NMR, and just the puzzles, I have always loved spectroscopy. And so this is a really fun part that is such a shift from what we've been doing. And these are fun problems to work on. Okay, so let's call it here. Let's take a break. And I'll be back on the line at 11. And then I'll see you guys at 12:40 for lecture. All right?
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, guys.